Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
I'm sure that no one in here needs this lesson, right? There were two, I don't know if they were wise men or if they were just wise jokers. There were two brothers whom I will not name, said to me a few minutes ago something about how they would be my armed guards tonight after this lesson because it would be so hard for all of the women to hear it. A couple of men, one of them said his name was Paul Owen, but he was not Paul Owen. So I think they were trying to get some folks in trouble here tonight. But you know, that's interesting that that some good, funny men would say that, because just this week I read about a study that had been done, I believe it was at the University of Arizona, where they said, even though it has been alleged that women and females talk so much more than men and boys, that is not necessarily true. But that, in fact, of the studies that they did, they said the one who talked more than anyone was a man who spoke 47,000 words a day. That's a lot of words. It is a pleasure to be with you all tonight. I'm very honored to be here. It's always an honor to come back to the Huntsville area to be at West Huntsville. I'm not here to waste your time tonight. I take the responsibility that has been entrusted to me to get to have an opportunity to teach very seriously whenever I have that opportunity. I heard a story one time, just a story, about a master who sent his slave to the meat market and said, I want you to bring back the very best piece of meat that is available there. So the slave, he didn't know what kind of meat that would be, so he went to the meat market and he asked one who was working there. He said, listen, I need the best cut of meat you have. Please just let me have that. I'll pay for it. I'm going to take it back to my master and please him. So he got a piece of meat, took it back to his master. The master opened up the bag and it was a piece of tongue. I don't know if you've ever eaten tongue before. I've never tried it, so I can't really say whether it's that great or not. The master said, well, you know, that's interesting. I'd like for you to go back to the meat market and then ask the same individual for the worst, most terrible tasting piece of meat there at the meat market and bring that piece of meat back to me. And so the slave went to the meat market, asked that very same thing about what the master instructed him to ask, and he came back with a piece of tongue. And the question was asked, well, how could you bring back both pieces or the same piece of meat for both questions? And as you probably already realize, the man at the meat market said, when the tongue is good, it is the best. But when the tongue is bad, it is the worst. You know, there are so many things in life. Not everything, but so many things in life. When they're good or when it's good, it's great. And when it's not, it's bad. Whether it be water, whether it be fire, whether it be a weapon, the tongue is very similar. You know, it's the Proverbs writer who said in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word fitly spoken. How encouraging is it? Parents, how I don't know if this happens to you very often. I can't really say it does to me, but it's every now and then we'll get something from our teenage boys, more often from our sweet daughter. But our teenage boys occasionally will say something like, Mom and Dad, thank you very much for fill in the blank. Occasionally we get that. And I will say, young people, that a parent that is really music to our ears. And I wouldn't be surprised if the youth of this congregation, if your children, if, although they may not always admit it, they deep down inside probably would say they love to hear their parents say, hey, Johnny, you did a fantastic job in your in your studies at school, in your presenting of a lesson in Bible class, et cetera, et cetera. If you are an employee somewhere, you know, to hear your boss say, that was a great job on that project. That was exactly what this company needed. I mean, it is refreshing. Now, I realize that people show praise and love in different ways. I believe there's a book called The Five Love Languages. Sometimes, you know, I have a child who, he doesn't really seem to need words of affirmation as much as maybe some of my other children. But he appreciates other areas where he might be shown some kind of appreciation or love. You know, when the tongue is good, it is fantastic. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, Eric, you've got 10 points to make tonight. In 35 minutes or so, you better get on with it, and I suppose I should. But I need to make this point first, which we all, I think we understand. When the tongue is not so good, then it's just not so good. And we just, we don't really have good vibes. We don't really feel good. We don't respond very well. We don't appreciate it. When those who are around us, family members, friends, or whoever it may be, you know, the Proverbs writer also said, not only is life in the power of the tongue, but the Proverbs writer said that death is in the power of the tongue. Well, I have a few points to make tonight. I know a lot of different ways we could approach this subject. I've never really approached it quite this way, but sometimes I think on a Wednesday night, if we can go bam, 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 get through some points that I believe are very biblically based and reasonably based, they can be very helpful to us. 10 reasons to examine our speech. Number one, here is perhaps the number one reason, because God put great emphasis on the sins of the tongue, on using it correctly, the words that we speak. Okay, think about this. How many of the Ten Commandments had to do with the sins of the tongue? You remember? One of them was, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, correctly? Correct? So there's one. And what about lying? Not bearing false witness. 20% of the Ten Commandments had to do with, in one way or another, had to do with the tongue. What was it the Proverbs writer said in Proverbs chapter 6? There are seven things that are listed that God hates. How many of them, do you recall, how many of them have to do with the tongue? Did that give you a hint right there? After a proud look, he has a lying tongue. And then the last two, a false witness who speaks lies. And then here's another one that we need to pay special attention to, one who sows discord among brethren. God, the text specifically says that God hates those things. In Romans chapter 12, after we learn so much about the gospel of Jesus Christ in the book of Romans, in chapter 12 we have some very practical Christian living lessons and statements. One of those is simply something we learned back in the Sermon on the Mount. We are to bless others and not curse others. In Ephesians chapter 4, go ahead and open up your Bibles, if you will, there for just a moment. So very quickly, let's just get through this first point, that God put great emphasis. You could probably go through just about every epistle in the New Testament, and you will see statements about how to use the tongue or how not to use the tongue. And I would contend that this is simply a subject we don't really talk about all that much. Listen, parents, listen very carefully. If all of the training that your children and my children get are 2 or 3 or 4 hours a week when the saints are meeting at a particular location, that is not enough training on dealing with the tongue. Ephesians chapter 4, you recall that in verse 15, the Apostle Paul said that we are to speak the truth, and we are to speak the truth in love. Reminds me in a way of the statement Peter made in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Speak the truth in love. And then a few verses later here in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, put away what? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, put away lying. Let each one speak the truth to his neighbor. Chapter 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers? Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another. We could go back to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, there are some things we are to put away. So Paul spent time, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to spend time writing to churches in the first century, talking about what? Talking about a variety of things, including how we are to use our tongue. Some of the things that the Apostle Paul told the church at Colossae to do is put away blasphemy, put away filthy language. Chapter 3 and verse 8, do not lie to one another. Go ahead and open up to James. James chapter 1, we are told in James chapter 1 to be swift to what? To be swift to hear and slow to speak. Well, that is such a powerful lesson, a powerful statement in such a short, just one line phrase in my Bible. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. And yet we understand it is so easy to read that verse and really very difficult to put it into practice. You know, I know we can't say, well, that this proves, when we consider that God made us with two ears and one mouth, I'm not saying that He made us that way because He wanted us to hear more than we talk, but you know that He wants us to listen more than we speak. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. God made our ears and they don't close. He made the mouth to close. There is a time to speak and there is a time to keep silent, the wise man said. Well, so God put great emphasis on the misuse of the tongue. James chapter 1 verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, his what? His religion is useless. Well, we'll hopefully look at that a little more later. And then we have all of James chapter 3. I'm not going to take the time to read through all of that, but we'll make some points based upon James chapter 3 and James chapter 4 here in just a moment. So number one, God put great emphasis on the sins of the tongue. I'm going to put my clock up here just so I can be motivated to keep on keeping on this evening. Secondly, our culture glorifies ungodly communication. What would be the reason to spend 30 or 40 minutes tonight really honing in on this subject? Well, number one, God puts great emphasis on this. And number two, our culture glorifies ungodly communication. They're probably not a big surprise there. But you know, it hasn't always been that way in this culture. I'm not saying there haven't always been people who used filthy language and said things they shouldn't say. That's been a temptation since the very beginning of time. But you may have seen this. A few years ago, I came across the rules or the motion picture producers and distributors of America, the MPPDA, adopted a set of rules for movies back in 1934. Let me just read to you some of the rules they adopted and how they began this list of rules. They said, resolved that those things which are included in the following list shall not appear in pictures produced by members of this association, irrespective of the manner in which they are treated. And what are those things? Pointed profanity will not appear in their motion pictures. By either title or lip, this includes words God, Lord, Jesus, Christ, unless they are used reverently in connection with proper religious ceremonies. And then they listed a few others that I won't name. And every other profane and vulgar expression, however it may be spelled. Just a little bit more. And be it further resolved that special care be exercised in the manner in which the following subjects are treated to the end that vulgarity and suggestiveness may be eliminated and that good taste may be emphasized. That was 1934. Those were rules that were laid down by the Motion Pictures Producers and Distributors of America. You know, the average person, according to the Nielsen company, the average person spends today about 5 hours watching TV or streamed television shows over their computers and devices. According to iTunes, well, according to information that was gathered from iTunes just a few years ago, 7 of the top 10 shows on iTunes that were being downloaded, they were shows that openly and frequently promoted cursing, premarital sexual relations, homosexuality, and other things. You know, considering that according to the Harrison Group, the average teenager 9 years ago, and I don't believe that teenagers are the only ones spending this much time on computers, electronic devices, iPods, iPhones, watching television, listening to music. According to the Harrison Group, 9 years ago, and I don't have a more recent statistic, teenagers spent 72 hours a week listening to music, watching movies on their iPods and iPads and iPhones, and being on some kind of electronic device. Let's see, 72 hours, that's a little over 10 hours a day. And so I believe that this point is very relevant to this discussion, because the more that we immerse ourselves in a disrespectful culture that glorifies ungodly communication, let me just give you an example of that. For the last several years, I've just occasionally been monitoring the top 200 songs on iTunes. I do it, first of all, because I'm a parent whose children download songs on iTunes, and they have to get my permission to do so and the approval. And, you know, one day they won't have to do that, but right now, they do. Trying to teach them, hey, we need to examine these things to make sure that they are things that we should be putting in our hearts, our minds. 20% over the last several years, 20%, almost every time you look at it, at least 20% of the songs are labeled explicit. Just recently, about last month, I looked at it, 30% of the songs that were being sold were labeled explicit, as explicit music. But you know, there's a host of others. A large percentage of the remaining 70% are songs you wouldn't want to listen to and you wouldn't want your children to listen to. We are living in very disrespectful times. Young people who go to school, who watch much television, who experience many things in this world, and every one of us does. We live in the world, though we are striving to not be of the dark world in which we live. We recognize that we have to be on guard because our culture glorifies ungodly communication. We need to be careful because we use words constantly. Okay, why do we need to spend more time thinking about this subject than we normally do? Why do we need a lesson like this? Because we're constantly using words. The average man and woman, according to a study at University of Arizona just a few years ago, uses or speaks 16,000 words a day. And this doesn't include any of the words that we don't speak, but that we communicate by way of text or email. So 16,000, you know, there are some things that we don't use very much. And so if you told me, Eric, something is wrong with this, or there's a problem with that, it really wouldn't bother me. If you said, Eric, your treehouse, the door on the treehouse in your backyard is not functioning properly, I'd say, well, it will probably stay that way for a long time. If someone said, Eric, your treadmill in your room, it is not rolling correctly, do you know how much that would bother me? I really wouldn't spend much time thinking about it, probably. But when we talk about the dangers of communicating things not righteously but unrighteously, not respectfully but disrespectfully, not rightly but sinfully, well, that's a very serious thing, because we use language and we speak and we live in an age of communication. When you think about looking back at the history of mankind, this is the communication age. I mean, yes, Adam and Eve were created with the ability to speak, which is quite an amazing miracle. They didn't have to be taught a language. They awoke being able to speak a language. Adam awoke, and not shortly thereafter, he was naming the animals that were there in the garden. And here we are thousands of years later, we are able to communicate with people around the world in just fractions of a second. We can put an iPad at the end of the dinner table on Thanksgiving Day, as we've done many times at my house or my mother's house, and speak to my dad who is in Russia. He was at that time doing mission work. I mean, that's just amazing ability to communicate. We live in the age of communication. We're not sending out smoke signals. We're not sending messages by the Pony Express. We're sending hundreds or thousands of messages in a given day or in a given week. Well, there's a reason to talk about this and to examine our speech, because words are used so constantly and words are so easily tangled up. Even with the most righteous intentions, sometimes we are tangling up words. Now, some may not have such righteous and good, wholesome intentions. I was talking to a man a few years ago. He said, this is a true story, he said, that there is an area of West Virginia known as Big Ugly Creek, West Virginia. He said there was a woman who got in a car wreck in that area, and the headline the next day said, Big Ugly Woman is Hurt in Car Wreck. I'm not so sure if the editor didn't quite have that all figured out, or if he was just being mean. I don't know for sure. Gentlemen, if you go home tonight and you tell your wife, honey, when I look at you, time stands still. Oh, that might sound pretty good. But if you get a little tongue tangled in your speech and you say, woman, your face could stop a clock. That just doesn't sound as good. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons that when I was a kid, it was frightening to think about getting up and teaching a class or preaching, one of the reasons is because, you know, it's easy to get your words tangled up. To this day, I still do. Even when I'm preaching, I do. I was preaching a while back, and I was talking about some animals, and I mentioned the animal known as a chig. Well, I there's no such thing as a chig. I was talking about chickens and pigs, and I said chigs. You know, it's kind of distracting, isn't it? Well, our words are so easily tangled up, and then when we allow some sinful thought to come in our minds and we allow it to stay there, and then we decide to communicate something that is not the most kind thing to communicate, and then we have the ability to mess up what we're already messed up about in our thinking, perhaps, then it even leads us to getting into more problems. Words are so easily tangled up. Those who teach, James chapter 3 and verse 1, so this is kind of getting on to another point. Those who teach will receive a stricter judgment. That's not something that we talk a lot about. You know, in James chapter 3, I invite you to turn there. James began this chapter. Of course, chapter breaks were added to the Bible later times. I'm glad to see there is actually a clock right there, isn't there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're just to the fifth point, so I need to move on. You know, one of the things to consider about teaching is what James said, teachers will receive a stricter judgment. And James wasn't communicating there that he didn't want people to be teachers. The gospel is preached. The gospel is to be taught, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. And so we want teachers. We need teachers and preachers. But it is a very serious thing for a variety of reasons. Not all of the reasons James went into here, but we understand that some of those reasonings would be, hey, it would be easy for some to be tempted to become, especially maybe in a day and time when teachers were perhaps more appreciated or respected than maybe they are in certain areas of the world today, in first century times, maybe for people to become conceited, people to become arrogant in their actions, people to become power hungry. There are some people who, and this may have been more what James was communicating here, who were not living the way that they were preaching and the way that they were teaching. We have an obligation to live consistently with the way that we teach. You know, just teaching this lesson tonight and preparing for this lesson this week, you're looking at a man who has flubbed up, who has sinned in a variety of ways when it comes to my own speech over the last 40 years. And so I don't come to you. Even as James said in verse 2, we all stumble in many things. I come to you as a man who has flubbed up, who has messed up. Just ask my wife and she'll tell you a number of times when it comes to things I regretted saying. And I'm reminded the seriousness of teaching. Not only for those reasons, but also because this is the Word of God. This is His soul-saving message. And the seriousness of teaching, perhaps more than anything, is found in the fact that teachers and preachers are to communicate the T-R-U-T-H, the truth. The true Word of Jesus Christ, the true words of God, His inspired words, and not something that is erroneous. And sometimes error can be taught even with the best intentions because proper time and proper study has not preceded the teaching and preaching of the Word. And then here's, I believe, number 6. Only a few small words can cause big problems. What is it that James says here? That James chapter 3 and verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Verse 5, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Only a few small words can cause great problems. I know that you've heard of my good friend and brother Kyle Butt. He's probably been here a few times to preach before. And I guess it's easier to talk about other people than to talk about yourself, but I don't think Kyle would mind me sharing this with you. A few years ago, he was on his way to the Bahamas for a campaign. Seriously, he was going for a campaign, not for vacation. Going to go teach and preach. And this is when he was a teenager. He was going through security. This was before 9/11. And he said these few words, if I have them correctly. Jokingly. Through security, I'm glad they didn't find the bomb. Kyle. He's learned a lot since those days. Those of us who have survived our teenage years, I think we would say we've probably learned a lot since those days. I'm glad they didn't find the bomb. 7 words? I don't know exactly what they were. It was something like that. You think they just said, oh yeah, just come on right through security. Oh, he learned a lesson. To this day, I don't know if he says much when he goes through the security line. Only a few words can cause serious problems. Friends, brothers and sisters, it doesn't take a lot of words to cause unnecessary, sinful controversy among brethren who love each other, who say they love the Lord, who contend that they love each other and yet say things. And so James says in this passage, I may be getting to the next point here, we can never tame the tongue. And so if we can never tame the tongue, we need to do our best to control it because only a very few small words can cause great big problems. You know, I like dogs. I've always liked dogs. I was having, but I never have wanted a dog unless that dog is going to mind. You know, I guess as a parent, I never really wanted kids unless I knew they were going to mind. But that's been a little bit more of a challenge. My kids are good kids, but you know, you just got to keep working. But you know, with our dog, I'm having a few problems training it, and I talked to this, I was out speaking in Georgia a few years ago, in Missouri, and this woman who trains dogs for a living, I said, hey, give me some pointers here. He said, oh, that's really easy. Just go get you a shock collar. You have that dog trained in no time. Sure enough, that's exactly right. We may have had a little bit too much fun with the shock collar, but that dog was trained in no time. Come, yes sir. I mean, he was running back. Just yesterday or 2 days ago, we were out in the yard. The neighbor brought her big dog around there and he doesn't mind quite as well. She just heard me say, Shadow, in the house. There he goes. She looked at me like, how do you, you know, you can train and tame a variety of animals. In fact, James mentions right here, a beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. I mean, dolphins and even killer whales to an extent. What is it? I've never been to an Auburn football game, but I hear they have a golden eagle, bald eagle or something that flies down. You can tame certain animals. I do not believe for a minute my dog would hurt just about anybody. Would not. I believe you could smack the dog upside the head and he's been trained. But you know, we cannot ever let our tongue off the leash that we are to put on the tongue. Based upon what God says and based really upon practical experience. I'm 40 years old and I cannot say as a not really a young man anymore. I can't go into the young classes as much as I used to. A boy who grew up in a Christian home with great parents, for which I am thankful, who have sat at the feet of wonderful godly preachers and teachers through the years and just tried to soak up, not always as much as I wish I had, the Word of God and lessons, and had so many wonderful Christian examples, and have studied the Scriptures and love my Lord. I mean, I'm 40. Glenn, can't I just say, well, you know what? I don't have to be concerned about my tongue. It'll behave. There are situations. I realize that this is a topic that may be more challenging to some than others. I believe that there are certain sins that you may be more tempted to commit than I would be, and vice versa. And it may be that some have more problems and more struggles with their tongue than others. But I don't know of anyone who could just say, well, no problems whatsoever. Never, not any situations am I ever in where I am tempted to say things I should not say or communicate things in some way, some fashion that I should not. Well, we can never, according to James, we can never tame the tongue. 10 reasons. Another reason to examine our speech is because praising God while cursing men is the height of hypocrisy. In this passage in James chapter 3, James said, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. You remember that, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27. God created them male and female. He created them. He said, let us make man after our image, according to our likeness. It makes no sense. It is inconsistent. And in a sense, I do believe it is the height of hypocrisy to say that we are genuinely praising God at one moment, and then we leave the services, we leave a Bible class, and then we're talking in a reviling or backbiting a way about someone else, or we're using filthy language, or we are cursing our brethren. The reason I think we can say it may very well be the height of hypocrisy is because if we are claiming that we love God and we are claiming that we genuinely worship God, and yet just a few minutes or a few hours later, we are saying things about those who are made in the image of God that we should not be saying, I think we ought to really question whether we have shown true devotion to our God in our praising of Him if our Christian life, if we are so misusing the tongue in our daily Christian lives that God has given us. And then I believe this is the 9th or 10th point here, and our time is about up. If we don't bridle the tongue, our Christianity is useless. The tongue determines, at least in part, our eternal destiny. James chapter 1, verse 26. Matthew chapter 12. Go ahead and turn over there, and this is probably just about the amount of time we have, because these will be the last two points that we'll deal with here. The tongue reveals the heart. The tongue determines, at least in part, our eternal destiny. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus said, but I say unto you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. That's a sobering thought and a sobering verse. Jesus said in the very next verse, Matthew 12, 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What did James say in James chapter 1, verse 26? If we do not, he didn't say that, you know, if we don't tame our tongue in such a way that we can take the leash off of it. He said, bridle. If we are not bridling the tongue, controlling it, then our religion, our Christianity is meaningless. It's useless. Reminds me of Paul's statements there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. You know, if we give our bodies to be burned, if we have such faith that we could, you know, move mountains and have not love, it doesn't profit us anything. Matthew chapter 6, if we are doing good deeds, but they're to be for the purpose of being seen by men, might as well not even do them. Our tongues, the way that, the kinds of things that we communicate, well, they say a lot about us. And if we do not bridle our tongues, if we do not control them, then we will not inherit the heaven that we say we're looking forward to inherit. And then in the same passage in Matthew chapter 12, we realize that the tongue certainly does reveal the heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, really, when we talk about the tongue, when we talk about our speech, the fact is, if we go one step back and we begin thinking about our hearts and we begin thinking about our minds, our very souls, the essence of who we are, if we work on that and we let the Word of God work on our hearts daily, I believe that our speech will be taken care of. Not that we can let it off the leash, but part of leashing it up, part of bridling it, I believe, is meditating on, immersing ourselves in the Word of God, in the fellowship of the saints who love the Lord and who can help me. Will you bow with me, please? Almighty God and Holy Father, it is an honor to serve in your kingdom. It is humbling to read your wise and inspired revelation that you have given us, a real piece of your infinite mind that you have given us to guide us in our journey toward heaven. Thank you, Father, for the instruction. Thank you for the reminder of watching what we say and the words that we use and the words that we write and the communication that we are involved in. Father, we pray that our hearts will submit to you and that we will truly strive to not gossip and not be backbiters and whisperers, but that we will see the importance of speaking things that are in accordance to your will. We pray that we will rejoice in the confession that we make that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We pray that we will rejoice in the efforts to tell other people with our mouths the good news of Jesus Christ and of edifying our brethren with good and wholesome speech and talk. Please, Father, help us to measure our words. Help us to instruct ourselves, our children, our families, in the ways that you have revealed to us. Please forgive us of our sins. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to WBS@westhuntsville.org.